Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study here at Locust Grove. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino, and I'm here privileged to bring the Word of God to you. We have begun a series of messages, of lessons, rather, that I've entitled Kings and Priests. And if you have your Bibles handy, I have my trusty New King James Version with me. So if you would like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to kind of go quick on the review just to kind of get our thinking to go in the same vein, in the same stream of consciousness, and then we'll break down any new material, and I got plenty of new material for us this evening. Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to just jump into the middle of a thought, and that is verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us, that is, Jesus has made us, kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Notice, Jesus has made us to be kings and priests to God and his Father, and because it's Jesus' Father, it's our Heavenly Father as well. And, you know, we said last week that these are two God-ordained, God-appointed offices that God brought from the Old Testament through the cross into the New Testament. You know, some people have a hard time believing that Old Testament stuff could be present in the New Testament. Well, what about tithing? What about repentance? Repentance originated in the Old Testament. What about the Ten Commandments? That was in Exodus 20. And so God brought these two offices from the Old to the New. And he has set them in place in the body of Christ for the worship of God, for the glory of God. And listen carefully, for the advancement of his kingdom. And so it's vital that we understand the kings and the priests. And when he brought those into the New Testament, the New Covenant from the Old Testament, God wanted and designed, as there was in the Old Testament, to be in the New Testament, for there to be a partnership between the kings and the priests. Now, we said that the role, and it's very, very important that we have these roles defined from a biblical standpoint and in our lives, the role of the priest is to cast vision, to provide the vision of God. We'll get back to that thought shortly. And the role of the priest primarily is to provide provision for that vision. Now, that is an ennobling thought if you stop and think about it. Every member in the body of Christ has a calling, has a purpose from God. You don't have to be a pastor or a minister or an evangelist or a missionary to be, or you don't have to be in full-time ministry to and collect a check from that for you to be useful in God's kingdom. A lot of people get these concepts mixed up. You know, sometimes you have priests that want to be kings, and sometimes you have kings that want to be priests. Why is that? Because people don't understand their role as a priest or as a king. Let me kind of flesh that out a little bit. When I was first in ministry, you know, I spent as much money, probably, and probably more so because I took an extra year of undergraduate education at the university that I attended. And I had friends that spent, you know, 4 years. I spent 5 years and did not incur as much debt, but because of their calling as kings, they made much more money at entry level, you know, when they graduated from school with their degree. They made much more money at entry level than I did as a priest. And I've got to be honest with you, there were some times that I had real talks with God. Really and truly, I was feeling sorry for myself that my family and I, here we are serving Jesus. We're struggling to make ends meet because I am a priest. And here's my buddy. He's a king in his role of the kingdom. And he's making twice as much a year as I'm making, even though I spent as much time, if not a little more time than he did in school, incurred a little more debt than he did on the loans and such. See what I'm talking about? Sometimes priests become disillusioned for one reason or another, and they envy the king's role in the kingdom, and the converse is true the same way. Sometimes kings feel like they're in business, but they're not doing anything for God's kingdom, although they are providing provision for the vision, and so they feel that to be useful, they've got to quit their secular job, and they've got to become priests. Now, church family, we don't want to become priests full-time unless we are called to do that. Amen? Priests must take their place in the body. Kings must take their place in the body. And this partnership, when it works well, it's a thing of beauty. It is illustrated beautifully in the Old Testament, and it is illustrated beautifully in the New Testament as well. But it also can have breakdown in it. Now, real quickly, before we pursue that thought of breakdown in this partnership, how do I know that I'm a priest? Well, if you're collecting a paycheck, a full-time paycheck, as a priest in full-time ministry, you are called to be a priest. If you are collecting a full-time paycheck apart from full-time ministry, then you are a king. Your role is to provide provision for the vision. My role as a priest professionally and in my calling is to provide the vision of God for my life, the vision of God for your life. All right? Now, I mentioned that there can be breakdown, and we're going to look at an incident where a king tried to assume the role of a priest, and he died a very horrible death because he acted out of pride and not stayed in his lane. You know, the book of Proverbs says, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, listen carefully, I will perish without the vision of God in my life. I will perish, and so will you. But with a vision, the second half of the verse says, those who keep the law of God shall be happy and blessed. How many of you consider yourself, because you have the vision of God through the Word of God in your life, you consider yourself happy and blessed? I can raise both hands to that, and I'm ever so thankful for the vision of God. You know, my life is what it is today because the vision of God intervened in my life at the age of 15 years old, just a few days shy of being 16, and God set my path aright. But, you know, and I've lived with the vision of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't always obeyed the vision as I should have. I've strayed from it. I've gone to the right, I've gone to the left, but you know, Jesus was always there to steady me and set me back on the right path and for me to maintain my focus. Now, thanks be to God for that, but my family, we all need the vision of God. And you know, that word vision in the Hebrew language, that's the language that the Old Testament was written in, is the Hebrew word hason. Hason, and you know, this is the way we would translate it in our modern language. That word vision means simply this: to stay in your lane. To stay in your lane. Isn't that amazing? Why don't people stay in their lane? I would submit to us this evening, because people don't have a vision. They don't have a vision. So they're wandering here, they're wandering there, they're trying to do this, they're trying to do that, trying to do all kinds of stuff, and they're not staying in their calling, they're not staying in their roles, they're not exercising their responsibilities because they lack the vision of God in their lives. So the vision of God causes us to stay in our lanes. Now, that is important when it comes to this priesthood and this kingship partnership that God has brought together. Because if the priests don't stay in their lane, and the kings don't stay in their lane, there's going to be huge breakdown, and there's going to be big problems, okay, to be had. We'll discuss that a little farther down the road. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 in the Old Testament. I want to illustrate this breakdown between a king that was very prosperous, that had done right in the eyes of the Lord, that had served the Lord, obeyed the Lord, and Israel prospered militaristically. Their economy, listen carefully, their economy, Israel's economy during the time of this king, Uzziah, it was independent of all the other world. Now, how cool would it be if America was independent of China, independent of all the other nations, that we were so prosperous, we did not rely on any other nation? Yeah, that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Well, this is the state that Israel was in because of this godly king named Uzziah. And then it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 16, notice, referring to Uzziah, but when he, Uzziah, was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord. And listen carefully, why was he entering the temple of the Lord? To burn incense on the altar, or to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, stop there. You've read your Bibles, you know that only one person in the Old Testament was qualified, was commissioned to burn incense on that altar. What role was that? That was the role of a priest. So we have a king acting outside of his jurisdiction, trying to do the work of a priest, because he was filled with pride. You know, God had blessed him immensely. God had blessed the nation of Israel immensely, and it got to his head. He began to read his newspaper clippings, as they say. And so now he's thinking that he's above the law, that he's above the vision of God. And because of that, he's not staying in his lane. So he burns incense, tried to burn incense on the altar of incense. Verse 17, so Azariah the priest went in after him. And with him were 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men. They were brave. Why were they brave? Here they are standing up to God's anointed man, God's anointed leader of an entire nation, the king, King Uzziah, a very productive king, a very effective king. But these men of God said, hey, you are way out of line. You are beyond your lane. You're going outside of your lane. Verse 18, they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests. What are these priests saying? Saying, King, this is not your job. This is our job. Only we have been authorized by the Lord to offer incense to the Lord. And here you are way out of your jurisdiction. You're beyond your lane. You're outside of your realm of jurisdiction and anointing, and you cannot do that. All right, let's read on. And it says here, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense, those are the ones who were allowed to do it, get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous, so they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Verse 21, one of the saddest verses in the entire Old Testament. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. Isn't that sad? Such a tragic death. Such an unnecessary death from a man that was once a very godly man who did everything right in the sight of the Lord, and God blessed him, and God blessed an entire nation because of that. And here he is overstepping his boundaries. Now, can we have a straight talk about this, church family? You know, and we'll talk about how the priests can break down and cause harm to the kings. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. But this evening, I want to dedicate this to us. And that is, when the kings do not stay in their lane, and listen carefully, church family, and the kings presume to know more than the appointed priest, because listen, priests are not above pride. We'll look at that next week. But neither are kings. Kings can become prideful and usurp the authority of the God-ordained man or woman of God in a particular church house or house of worship. And when that happens, there's going to be breakdown. And when that happens, it opens the door to the enemy. And what happens is described in James chapter 3, where there is strife. Strife will ensue when the kings do not stay in their lane and when the priest does not stay in his or her lane. And it says there, where there is strife, there is bitterness and every evil work. Wow, that's sad. But sometimes, you know, there's a presumption that the kings know more about the word, that know more about God than the priest. And, you know, we got to be very careful with that, church family. We got to be very, very careful because, number one, you know, we are trained. Well, hopefully, if you're a priest, you're trained to do your priestly, to exercise your priestly duties. We are professionally trained. Now, I wonder how many people would question their plumbers, would question people they hire to do work on their house, would question people they hire to till their land, would question their doctors, would question the legitimacy of a surgeon, you know, when all they're doing is their job, and maybe a patient doesn't agree with the surgeon, but the surgeon is doing it right, and you know, we just have to be careful. Listen to me carefully. I'm not suggesting that we are above accountability. No, the priests are accountable to the kings. That's a fact. But listen carefully, my friends. The kings are also accountable to the priest. You know, it says in the book of Timothy that as a priest, I am mandated by God to watch over two things in my life. Number one, my life. I must watch over my life. I must walk circumspectly. I must make sure that I'm not discouraging the flock, that I am living uprightly before the Lord as much to the best of my ability. You know, but I'm still required to watch over my life. And number two, I'm required by God to watch my doctrine. But friends, I'm going to shoot you straight. Just because you pay the priest full time doesn't absolve you of your sins. It's still quiet. A paycheck doesn't all of a sudden absolve any king of their misdeeds or of whatever, because the kings are way beyond their lane. They're way out of their lane, and now they think in pride, like Uzziah, they think they know more than the priest. And you got to be very careful with that. You know, the Bible says, listen, I'm going to refresh your memory. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it says. It says, do not entertain an accusation against an elder or a pastor or a overseer unless it is by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, a witness is not someone who heard something from somebody else, who heard it from somebody else. That's not a witness. A witness is an eyewitness who saw something, who heard something, a firsthand account. It's not hearing something from a short-tailed relative. Hello. And yet, I've seen God's people, I've seen the kings violate that command. They think, well, you're an employee, and we're going to pay you as such. Now, church family, can I pursue this thought a little more? You know, you want your pastor to exercise pastorship. You want your priest to act like a priest from the heart, but you're treating him like a hireling. You're not honoring the calling of a priest. Hello. You know, friends, we've got to, if we're going to do it right, let's do it right. Let's honor the priesthood, and the priest will honor the kingship. Amen? All right, go with me. Last scripture we'll look at tonight. It's the 2 Chronicles 20. Just take a right from 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here's the message. It says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Do you want to prosper, my friend? Do you want to prosper spiritually? Do you want your church to prosper? First off, We all want to be established, amen, in the ways of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. We must believe God. But do you want to prosper spiritually? You know what I found? That kings that do not prosper spiritually are not kings that are kings that have no trust in their priest. Do not believe the prophet of God. And what I mean by prophet in that sense, as someone speaking the vision of God. Prophets also spoke the vision of God. So for this partnership to work, baby, it's going to take us too. It's going to take me and it's going to take you. Right? If we want it to be for the good of the kingdom, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about God and His work. So, and maybe you're listening in and tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. If you have another priest, God bless you. That's awesome. I pray you remain firmly planted in the house of God where He has planted you in. But let me say here, do you trust your priest? And if not, why don't you trust your priest? God calls us to see the essence. Listen, priests are essential, to use modern terminology. Priests are essential in the kingdom. But so are kings. And kings that are suspicious all the time of their priest, they will not prosper spiritually. There is an accountability from the priest towards the kings, but there's also an accountability from the kings to the priest. And so I want to ask, do you trust your priest? And if not, why not? And if so, why do you trust him? Why? All right, did you enjoy this message? Well, if you didn't, God will heal your toes. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for this message. Thank you for loving us as we are, God. And also thank you for ministering truth that will help us to grow in areas of our lives to make this partnership work for the good of your kingdom, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about anybody. It's about you, Lord, and your work. When all this is said and done, Lord, we will be asked, what did you do with what I've given you? What did you do with your priesthood? What did you do with your kingship in this role in the kingdom of God? And so, Father, we want to be faithful. We want to be found faithful. We want to have a God perspective and not a human wisdom perspective on this. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.